Preparation for the end time. Lesson 3. Jesus and the Book of Revelation. The structure of Revelation. The Book of Revelation addressed to John, the last apostle, is the special prophetic book of the New Testament. No other book can be compared to this one. It is special. The Apostle John was the last of all the apostles to survive. Therefore, many of the first Christians were interested to get information out of his remembrance, being together with Jesus for 3.5 years. And the interest to be together with John and ask him questions, that was great, enormous. And Roman emperors didn't like that at all and thought, well, we will just kill him. They put up a huge kettle with oil, fire on it, boiling oil, and they took John and whoosh, threw him into this kettle with boiling oil. But to their astonishment, it didn't kill him at all. Although it was very, very hot, much hotter than water, nothing happened, nothing. So they took him out again, and didn't dare to kill him anymore, but tried to isolate him and sent him to the Isle of Patmos. Here is Patmos. Now in those days, 2,000 years ago, the Greek people, they lived, settled around the sea here. And today, here is Turkey, but in those days, here were Greek inhabitants. The Turks came more than 1,000 years later. So it was a Greek area here. And there are many, many islands, small islands. They are just the rest of mountains in the sea and the tops. I look out of the water, and these are the isles, the islands. And one of these is Patmos, small, tiny, without any importance. Nobody lived there. Therefore, they put John there to be without any communication so that he cannot go on to inform people about the time of Jesus. So that was the point in all of this. And Jesus, he came and visited John on Patmos. And yeah, he showed him things for centuries onwards. Prophetic visions. We can see Jesus smile. The Roman emperors wanted John to be isolated. And Jesus came and visited him and showed him more than any other apostle had ever seen. We have an interesting structure in the Book of Revelation. It's comparable to the Book of Daniel. So in the first part we have a historical section and an end time section. And in Revelation it's the same. So up to the middle of the book it forms historical part and the latter part the end time events. So this is the big structure of Revelation. And John, he was honored by his Lord, who had visited him and had shown him things. Oh, and we are having a look at this in this week's lesson. Images of Jesus. Jesus appears to John on the island of Patmos. We can see on this painting by Maximilian Janscher, an Austrian artist, the old John. In his old years, he is told, what you see, write down. It's good that he wrote down what he saw. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. And because of this action, writing down what he had seen with the book of Revelation, the Revelator John. And in this book, we have images of Jesus. Therefore, we have paintings here which show these images of Jesus. The first text we find in Revelation chapter 1 is in verse 5, where it is written, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, who loves us. Just think about this. Who loves us. The King of the universe. He loves us. And freed us from our sins by his blood. And has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. He loves us. And he freed us from our sins by his blood. That's Jesus. That's an image of him. That's what is shown in the book of Revelation about Jesus. How he is as a person. The next text we have in the first chapter in verses 17 and 18. When he appeared to John, John just crumbled nearly to pieces. He was shocked just by the appearance. Jesus came as a friend, but it is such a dominant figure, a huge figure. He couldn't stay alive in a way to say. And Jesus said to him, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. The keys of death and Hades. Death is an enemy, an enemy which is stronger than we are. When death comes, nobody can defend himself, nobody. But here we read, there is one who has the keys for death and Hades. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Ah, that's him. And then in chapter 5, we find him in the picture, the image of a lamb. And here we see the lamb is wounded, trickling blood. Jesus, who died for us, who loves us, has died for our sins. And in chapter 19 of Revelation, oh, we have a picture of an image of the future. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the king of the universe returning on white horses with all his angels, dressed all in white robes. But Jesus has some red spots on his clothing. Do you see it here? He's the one who died for us. He is the beginning and the end. If we trust in him and if we love him, then we will be saved forever and ever. The sanctuary motive in Revelation. Jesus showed his apostle John in vision aspects of the heavenly universe. He was told, what you see, write it down. And it's good. Otherwise, we wouldn't know anything. And in chapter 4 of the Revelation, we find that John, in vision, can see into the center of the universe, to the center of the center. So this is a very, very special vision, chapter 4. We see the center where all the decisions for the whole universe are made. There's the heavenly government. So that's the real center of the universe. All the galaxies, they encircle the throne. They are in rotation around this throne. All the universe, it encircles the throne that's in the center. Now in chapter 4, we find, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. So he can get a glimpse of the heavenly center. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. Imagine, 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John is here on the island of Patmos, and in vision, in spirit, he's in the center of the universe. Now imagine what's possible in vision. He gets a glimpse what's going on there. Oh, what John could see here, we will experience when we are taken by the angels at Jesus' return. Then we will go there. Can you imagine this? Going to the center of the universe, where the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords reigns, where all the decisions are made for reigning this universe. There, this center, we will be there. We will be transferred over there. Yeah, and what can he see there? There before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. How it is! Glory, glory, glory. John is fascinated what he can see there. And this image, this motif of the heavenly sanctuary, it was discovered in 1844. After the great disappointment, the Adventist people, they tried to find a solution for their disappointment. And then they discovered, oh, the prophecy of Daniel 8, 2,300 evenings and mornings, they show that the sanctuary will be cleansed. And they thought the sanctuary was the earth, therefore they thought that's Jesus' advent. And then they discovered there's a sanctuary in heaven, the one Moses saw. And then he made a small model of it on earth. There is a heavenly sanctuary, and we are invited to be there, in the center of the universe. Can you believe that? Christ in the Revelation, part one. Jesus Christ, he is the one who visits the Apostle John in his old days on the island of Patmos. It was the time when the Roman Empire was on top. It surrounded the Mare Internum. So it was in the middle of their empire, the Mediterranean Sea. And around this Mediterranean Sea, their empire was formed. And when they were on such a height, the Apostle John was in a way arrested here on the island of Patmos, one of these islands in this area here, Mare Aegeum, as the Romans said to it. And here, where the Greeks settled around this sea, here in this area, we find the seven churches who get letters in the second and third chapter of the Revelation. It's here in this area. Today, this is Turkey. But the Turks appeared here more than 1,000 years later. So this is original Greek territory. And Jesus is shown how he is, what he wants to do for us and with us. And it starts in chapter 1 with verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's not the revelation of John, as many people say. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ addressed to John, that he writes it down and so that we can read it. Which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. So John testifies, I've seen that. That's real. That's true. That's the truth. He showed it to me. I haven't invented it. I testify. It's the truth. It's the word of God. And then we find in verse 3, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So there's a blessing in hearing, taking to heart, because this, what's written here, will help us to meet all difficult situations and circumstances in a final crisis. And Jesus is introduced as the Alpha and the Omega, and we find in verse 7, look, he's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. So they will be resurrected just to watch when he comes on the clouds. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. There are people who will experience Jesus as the Lamb who has bleeded for them. And there is another image of Jesus, the Lion, who will devour all those who have not followed him. So we have the Lion on the one side and the Lamb on the other side. On which side will you be? It's your decision whom you trust. If you trust the father of lies, then you will find Jesus as the Lion. And if you trust Jesus as your Redeemer, you will find him as the Lamb. What a blessing. Christ in Revelation, Part 2. The book of Revelation is full of verses about Jesus Christ. And one of the finest description we find in Revelation chapter 1. We start with verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He tells us he's our brother and companion in suffering. Therefore, he's on this island. He is prisoner here on Patmos. He is not allowed to leave the island. He has to stay here till his death. So it's the island of death for him. Here he will remain till he dies, because he talked about Jesus. But he said, I am your companion in the suffering and in the kingdom. That goes together. The one who suffers will experience the kingdom of Christ as well. So John tells how it happened when he came about to write down all these visions, what was in the beginning, when Jesus first appeared to him on this island of Patmos. We find it in the following verses. Now, what can we read here? On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. What is the Lord's day? It's the Sabbath day, the seventh day, Saturday. In some modern translations, we find here that Jesus appeared on Sunday. Now, that's a lie. Because the Lord's Day, if you look it up in Isaiah 58, you see it very clearly. It's the Sabbath day. So on Sabbath, he was visited by Jesus. I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet. And what can he hear? Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. All these churches, Christian churches in the first century, are located here on the western coast of the modern state of Turkey. In those days, Greek territory. They all here. Now, this was one thing to address these churches. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. We see the motif of the sanctuary in Revelation, in this book. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. So white hair is something Jesus has and the Father has. So be proud of your white hair if you're already so old to have something like this. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Here on earth, people make their jokes about Jesus, God, heavenly beings. They have never seen any of them. If they had, they wouldn't act like this. Because whenever an angel appears in the Bible, he addresses, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I do not want to do any harm to you." Heavenly beings, when they come into existence on this planet so that we can see them, normally they are not visible. Whenever we see them, we crumble to pieces. We faint. We lose consciousness because of this glory. It's just too much for our flesh. It's too much. But then, when he comes, we will see him as he is, and we will succeed in looking at him. Summary. In this week, we learned a lot about Jesus in the book of Revelation. He is the one who appeared to the Apostle John and he fainted. Only because Jesus appeared. He didn't do anything against John, his beloved apostle. But he appeared in his glory. And we as human beings are not able to stand alive when he appears. We just faint, we lose consciousness. It's too much for our eyes, for our experience. Now this one is shown in the book of Revelation, the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe, that he loves us and that he pleaded for us. He is the Lamb who died for us, for our sins, so that we are redeemed. He is the one who reigns the universe. He is in the heavenly center. All decisions are made there. What's going on there, we will experience on the planet Earth. There is the center. There, all important things happen. And he is the one who will come again. He wants to fetch us, to take us, but not as captives, as slaves, but as redeemed people. He wants us to show his kingdom, his universe. He says he will be like angels. So we will get a new body, an angel body, Otherwise, we couldn't travel through the universe. And he says, and we have this in chapter 1, verse 7, look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, even those. They will be resurrected, just to view this scene. Once they crucified him, they were the powerful ones, and they wanted to show him, ah, we are the ones. And they mocked at him and said, ah, if you are the Lord of the Lords, King of Judah, why don't you step down from the cross? Then we will believe that you are King of Kings. He will come. He will return in the glory. Look, he's coming with the clouds. It's a small cloud in the beginning because it's so far away. And when it comes closer and closer, nearer and nearer, then we'll see more of it, more and more. Jesus comes with his angels. And the aim of all this is to collect his followers. He loves us. He wants to show us the heavenly dwellings for us. He wants to show us the center of the universe. We will be there. We will see him as he really is. And then we will be able to endure this sight. Because in this body we have difficulties, as John had difficulties to stay alive, just watching the one coming out of the universe. He's coming with the clouds, with his angels. And because he loves you, he wants you to be there where he is. That is love. Do you love him?